Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand, church. Hey, can I have everybody stand up? Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? You guys ready for the word today? Good to be back. Good to be back. I want to welcome again all the campuses around San Diego and Oahu and everybody watching online. God bless y'all. I'm excited to be back, excited to give y'all a word and talk to you about what's going to happen in the future, what God was doing over the last few weeks I was gone. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for everybody that's here. Lord, you know every soul in this room. You know all the burdens they carry, the worries they have, the lies that they've been told or being told, that we're all being told by culture and the devil. I pray that you cut through all that and speak truth to us and encourage us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a high five. Turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians. If you are a visitor, my name is Miles. I'm the pastor of The Rock. Welcome to church. We are one church in many locations, five locations in San Diego, one in Oahu. People watching online, we're 25 years old, and we want to, as best we can, share the love of God with a broken world around us. Can I get amen? Amen. Amen. I've been gone for a few weeks, and during that time, I was, I needed not only time to rest a little bit, but also to invest in myself, and I took a couple of classes. One, a strategic execution class from Harvard. Everyone say Harvard. It was like 8 hours a day. It was amazing, and it was directly related to being able to lead the church better. So we're going to be taking more of our staff through it. I'm also taking an apologetics class, which is something I've always wanted to learn. And so a guy teaching me, Kevin, is sitting right over here. He was in my youth group. He's now my teacher. Amen. What's up, Kevin? Just give Kevin a big hand. Give a big hand. God bless you. And this is how God works. I was praying. I got to learn apologetics. So I was studying stuff on my own. And then I spoke at Christian High, and he walks up to me. And he says, "You don't remember me." And I said, "I do. I remember that smile." And I said, "What do you do?" He said, "I teach apologetics." I said, "Bro, you're my man. Let's do this." So God just sent them right to me. And we're meeting 4 hours a day, several times a week, and it's amazing. So in a month from now, from today, we're going to start a series called Beyond Reasonable Doubt. And we're going to go through a lot of the topics that apologetics deal with. I'm going to read some of this to you, but the whole point is that we all know that the Bible and God has always been attacked by culture, but it's even being more attacked now. And my passion is to equip you with the confidence that the God that we serve is real. The Bible is reliable, and anything that comes against it is wrong. Simple. I know culture will tell you everybody's got to have their opinion. We're going to talk all about that stuff. Matter of fact, let me give you some of the topics. We're going to talk about morality and truth. What is truth? Can you know truth? Dinosaurs, the flood, creation, age of the earth, science, genetics, mutations, cosmology, the stars, and astronomy and astrology. Y'all, don't do your horoscope, please. We'll get to that, but just don't do it, because where they're getting that information is not from God, it's from the devil. So just as a side note, we'll get into that. Prophecy, comparison of religions, reliability of scripture. We're going to talk about all that. We got a lot of time. But here's my commitment to you, and which I am very confident, is that when you walk out of these messages, and there's a whole lot of them, I literally probably have about 50 messages lined up already. This is what I've been doing on my time off, trying to get space to kind of think about this stuff. You're going to come away so fired up with the evidence that God is real, undeniable. And a lot of the stuff that we've been told out there and in your schools is actually a lie. So that's a promise I'm making to you, because you can't be, "Is this true?" You want to be, "No, this is true. This is true." Or we're just playing a game. Everyone's playing a religion game. We ain't playing a religion game. So we're going to start that in a month. I'm going to pray for you that God would prepare your heart to receive it. But in my time off, you know, I got to do some ministry as well. And God prompted this question for you, which is this: are you happy? I want you to think about your life you know, what you do, your church life, your private life, your family, your job. How's it working out for you? I was talking to a lady one day, right over here years ago. She said, my husband's cheating on me and we live right at the street. You mind talking to him? I said, yeah, send the brother over. I'll talk to him. The brother comes to church and says to me, yeah, I'm cheating on my wife. I said, bro, how's that working out? It's not going to work out. We've had people come here with their girlfriend. They're married to this guy, the girl, and they're over here with their girlfriend. What are you thinking? And so my question to all of you is, how is your life and how you're proceeding through your family life, your job life, your career, your school life, your church life, your relationship with God? There's a lot to handle and juggle in all that. And the question I want to challenge you with is, how is it working out? Are you happy? Now, we can all do better, no doubt. And so I want to share with you five things you can do to kind of have unspeakable joy. Now, there's a distinction between being happy and being joyful. Happiness is due to external circumstances. It could be snatched away like that. Let me read a verse to you. Psalm 126, it says, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Yeah, when we're happy and things are going good, we think, oh, God's blessing me. And then when things aren't going good, God's cursing me. That is not true. Happiness is very temporary and very circumstantial. But the joy of the Lord comes from the inside. Look at what the Bible says in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Everyone say joy. That's the Spirit. That comes from the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the joy is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of circumstances. Your circumstances are going to do this. I don't know if you like roller coasters. I love roller coasters. And the thing about roller coaster that makes it exciting, it goes up and it comes down and it goes all around. It is a perfect metaphor for life. Your life is going to go up and it's going to come down and it's going to go all around. I've never met anybody who, other than even Jesus, he 30 years he lived as a regular guy. He had 3-year ministry. He got killed, betrayed, denied, backstabbed. Your life is going to go up and it's going to come down. But joy stays, you have an unstoppable source of joy. We're going to look at five things that I want to encourage you to pursue to have a joy that can withstand all the drama in your life. It's written by Paul. Paul is apostle. He's writing to a church in Philippi, and he's writing to this church from prison. And he's in prison because he got falsely accused of bringing non-Jews into the temple. So he's in prison. Everyone say prison. He got falsely accused, and he's writing an epistle, a letter called the Epistle of Joy. I was just told during worship that there's a pastor who lost his wife a few years back, and he said the moment he lost his wife, he took advantage of that moment to say thank you to God. Not that he took his wife, don't get me wrong, but to give praise in a time when he was down. Joy is unstoppable. God's joy is unstoppable. So Paul's in prison and he's getting ready to write. He's writing this letter. It's the epistle of joy. And I'm gonna give you five tips to develop unstoppable joy in your life. Number one is relationships. Everyone say relationships. Joy is protected from relationships. The Bible says in Philippians 1:3-5, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He's writing to these people while he's in prison. He's saying, I thank God for you always in every prayer of mine, making requests for all of you. I'm praying for all of you with joy. I'm excited to pray for you for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. How many of you ever heard of confirmation bias? Confirmation bias. How many of you have not heard confirmation bias? Okay, I think y'all, okay, so when we raise our hand, we want to put our elbow above it here. A lot of y'all doing, giving me this little T-Rex thing, like, yeah. How many of you have not heard of it? It's okay, no shame in your game. Okay, confirmation bias. It's very simple. Confirmation bias is when you filter everything you experience through a filter that confirms what you already believe. For example, Green is my favorite color, okay? It just is. So when I got this shirt, I saw green. How many of y'all say this? How many of y'all, watch this, how many of y'all think this shirt is blue? It's not blue. How many of y'all say it's green? Okay, right, great. How many of y'all say it's blue and green? Yeah, this shirt is green, okay? So this shirt is called Seafoam. It's Seafoam. Seafoam is blue and green. Are y'all following me? But because I like green, I've been told today, oh, that's a nice blue shirt. I was like, it's green, it's blue. Like 20 people told me today. So we're getting in this fight all day. This shirt is green, because I want to see green. If someone told you all your life you are a failure, and you believe it, you will filter everything you are told, everything you experience, every way people treat you, through the fact that that has to confirm my own bias against myself. If you have a bias against certain kinds of people, rich people, whatever ethnicity you got a bias against, if you do, male, female, tall, short, talented people, everyone's got a bias towards, or I shouldn't say, there's all different ways you can have biases against people. If you have that bias, you will actually look for things to affirm your bias so you can be right. There was a lady who was in a store. And every time she went shopping in the store, there was a parrot in the, you know, when you're going, well, maybe not, because they have different doors now. But when I was growing up, there was an electric door. It would open up, you go through that door, and then there another door would open up, and you go through. So you go through the first door, and there was a parrot in this cage. And every day this lady would go to the store, the parrot in the cage, through the first door would say, "Stupid lady, stupid lady." She's like, "Oh, no, he did not." Then she'd walk out, parrot would say the same thing, "Stupid lady, stupid lady." And this went on month after month, and she finally said, "Look, I'm coming to the store, I'm spending money, giving you my business." She went to the manager and said, "Look, this parrot keeps telling me I'm stupid. Can you deal with this parrot?" He said, "Oh, lady, you know, we had a lot of complaints. I'll deal with the parrot." So she's walking around the store shopping, thinking, this parrot better not call me stupid. He goes out there, you can see him talking to the parrot, you know, just yelling at the parrot, and she's like, "All right, you know, what good is it gonna do? But that parrot better not say anything or I'm not coming back to the store." So she pays for her food, she's walking towards, and she can see the parrot. So the doors open up as she's going out, she gets through the first door, she looks at the parrot looks at her, and the parrot says, "You know." Sometimes the devil can get in your head that he don't even need to say it anymore. You say it to yourself. "I'm not gonna get the job. God's not gonna bless me. Why should I even pray? Why should I read my Bible? Nothing ever good ever happens." And you convince yourself. Who are the people in your life who could talk you off the ledge and tell you God's perspective? Why? Because it's either the devil's perspective or God's perspective. It's not yours. It's either a perspective that is going to encourage you to obey God or encourage you to disobey God. Those are your only two options. So who are the people in your life, the relationships in your life that can say, "No, no, no, God loves you. No, 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 you're not a failure." I was watching Wimbledon. I saw the end of the women's match, and the American got beat 6-0, 6-0. She didn't win a game, and it was you know, kind of hard, and she was crying. It was kind of embarrassing. And the woman who won, they interviewed her, and part of her interview was, "There are so many people back home in Poland where I'm from that have been saying so many negative things about me, I wish they would stop." It's in her head. Now, she overcame it, because here's what she said, "But I have my team who believed in me more than anybody else, and that's how I'm here and why I'm here." So here's my question to you. Who are the people in your life who have confirmation bias about through the lens of how God sees you, who believe in you what God believes in you, who see in you what God sees in you, who want for you what God wants for you? Some of the people in your life don't want for you what God wants for you. They want for themselves what God wants for them. And they're leeching onto you. You gotta step back and go, who is my circle that's speaking, not stupid lady, but godly man, godly woman, winner, champion, a victor? Who are those people in your life? Now, if you don't have somebody, we would love to help you. Get in a small group. Get in a small group instead of coming. The church is big. How do I meet people? Get in a small group, and that's where you can meet people and have people in your life who can invest in you and speak God's truth to you and God's hope over your life. Number two is, amen, come on. Number two is purpose. When life is going left and right, it is so good to have your feet on the rock of God's purpose in your life. Philippians 1, 12 to 14. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually been turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, Paul is in prison writing an epistle of joy to people saying, listen, don't pity me. The furtherance of the gospel is a result of what I've been through. It says, so it has become evident to the whole palace guard where I was held, to the rest of that are in my chains in Christ, and the most of the brethren in the Lord, all the Christians, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. In other words, I was arrested in Caesarea. I was there 2 years. Then they transferred me to Rome. I've been here 2 years. And every place I've been, I share the gospel. Amen. How are you taking the gospel to where you have been? There was a lawsuit many years ago about this property where our Point Loma campus is and our building, and like we were trying to keep it a secret, and even though this building is 200 square feet big and 200,000 square feet big, it was in a newspaper. These people accused us and the people who sold it to us to trying to hide the fact that we were coming here, even though we shouted from the rooftops, we're coming here. Anyway, make a long story short, I had to go to court and sit on it and sit on the bench and be questioned about what happened. And they said, did you ever try to hide it? I said, sir, we promoted to every one of our people that we were coming here. We raised money to come here. It was in a newspaper. We weren't trying to hide that we were coming to this building. And I got the witness to the judge. And the judge's judgment was that they had faith in God, which is why they got here. That was part of his statement. So here's my question to you. When you go places, do people know that you trust God? Do people know that you are a Christian? Do people know that you're the reason that you can do what you do, that you're happy, that you have a job, that you have an intelligence, you have an education, is because of God's blessing in your life? Or is it all about you? Have you ever had somebody say to you, you go to church? No. Did you know that you're a Christian? Paul said, look, I know I've been arrested. I've been here 4 years. Look at all the people he witnessed to. This is just from the story that we know about. The governor, Felix, secular. His wife, Drusilla. The governor, Festus. King Herod, Agrippa II, and Bernice's sister. And here's what King Herod said. Acts chapter 26, verse 28. You almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Roman soldiers and guards, Jewish leaders in Rome, Roman guards, Onesimus, a slave who ran away to visit him, and he sent him back to his master and wrote a letter to his master saying, receive him not as a slave, but as a brother. People who say the Bible promotes slavery, no, this is one of the evidences. He said, listen, receive him not as a slave, as a brother. And then all the visitors who came to him in his house. The point is, wherever God has you, are you talking about God? Are you giving him credit? Because if your focus becomes on that, guess what? Joy will bubble up from your heart more so than if your focus is focused on the things that are happening to you that you don't like. Number three, gratitude. Everyone say gratitude. Gratitude. Joy increases when gratefulness increases. You cannot be grateful and grumpy at the same time. How many of y'all know a grumpy person? Yeah, they just drag you down. Everything is all, what about poor me? This is going to happen. Oh, my goodness. It's sunny out. I'm going to get a sunburn. Oh, my goodness. Oh my goodness, it's cloudy. Don't be fooled by the clouds. You still get sunburned. Oh my goodness, it's gonna rain. Oh my goodness, I'm gonna have a leak in my house. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, I gotta go to work. It's gonna be a horrible day. You can't do that and be thankful at the same time. And it's not like, in my opinion, your brain cannot be grateful and grumpy at the same time. It's neurologically impossible. Your brain, when you are grateful, is suppressing cortisol, the stress hormone. When you're grateful, your stress hormone, which is cortisol, goes down. I'm gonna say it again. When you're grateful, your stress hormone, the hormone that makes you stressful, goes down. Dopamine, which makes you happy, goes up. Serotonin, which makes you happy, goes up. So when you're grateful, stress hormone goes down, happy hormones go up. When you're grumpy, stress hormone goes up, grateful hormones go down. That can't happen at the same time. God created you this way. And so how many of y'all are just like down a little bit right now? Just to any degree you're down, just raise your hand. Okay, so you're all really happy right now. I'm so happy. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Okay, but here's what I know. Some people did raise their hand, but I know a lot of people say, I just don't want to raise my hand. Because you're sad. I get it. Something's happening in your life that's bad. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to repeat after me. Say, dear God, I am so grateful for my circumstance. I don't get it. I don't understand. But I trust you. It's painful. It's frustrating. But I trust you. You've always come through for me. You've never forsaken me. You've never left me. So I thank you. I praise you. I'm grateful. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church. Now, some of y'all are going, I still need a job. But if you walk into that interview like this, you ain't getting the job. I have a big thing about being late. Just don't be late, right? That's like a big thing. If you're late, stop. Just go home. All you youngins out there, all y'all millennial, Gen Z, all y'all, don't be late. Because your generation is late. I'm just telling you. Like y'all be at Starbucks. Oh, I'm supposed to be in an interview right now. Let me finish my latte, frappuccino, fiki, lucky, lucky, lucky. Get your behind on time. Anyway, don't get me started. Number four, growth. Joy is found in personal growth. Brethren, I do not count myself having apprehended, but one thing I do. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Probably one of my most frequently asked questions to people who are going through something tough is, what is God teaching you? Because he's for sure teaching you something. For sure. He's never not teaching you something. We just happen to learn better through hard times and good times. I was talking to someone recently, they're going through something, and I said, so how's it work? You know, what's going on? Oh my gosh, it's so hard, so hard. So what's God showing? Well, I don't know, but I'm reading my Bible every day. Like, I've never done that before. I'm praying like 2 hours a day. I've been at church 3 weeks in a row. And I got there on time. I worship. Worship is awesome. I never been there for worship. Duh. I signed up for a ministry. You know, I tithed and God blessed me financially. Oh my gosh, can you pray that God take this away? I said, hold up. You, listen to this. Linda, listen. That brother's famous right there. These are real, I've had this discussion 20 times, 30 times, 40 times. People, the words that are coming out of their mouth are, I am doing all the things God always wanted me to do to bring me to a place of incredible blessing and intimacy with him. Because of this problem. And I'm asking you, Pastor, to pray that problem go away so I can go back to my mediocre self. Oh, my goodness. Shut your mouth. So if today you said, you know what, God, what are you showing me? He said, listen, I'm showing you, trust me. I'm showing you, I'm going to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm going to speak to you with more clarity than ever before. You want to hear God speak to you? Stop eating and go on a fast. I should say it slower. If you want to hear God speak to you, go on a fast. I don't mean miss lunch. Like, don't eat, don't, and by the way, listen to some tapes and stuff. I don't want to mess you up medically, but I do this all the time. So just go on a fast and drink water for 3 days. Watch what happens. You will be like, oh, snap. It's a spiritual high. I've been high thousands of times through cocaine and marijuana back in the day. This is a spiritual high where you start to see things and hear things from God that you won't hear now while you're eating burgers. There's just something there. How are you growing? Well, number five, faith. Joy is found in Christ, not circumstances. It says, yet indeed I count all things a loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I just want Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. Now, there is power. The right temporal lobe is an area of your brain that is stimulated when you have an experience with God. I know people say you evolve from something. We're gonna talk so much about that, it's gonna blow your mind. Yeah. And you're gonna be like, how could that be possible? But there's an area of your brain, right temporal lobe, that is stimulated when you have an experience with God. God designed you that he can have a relationship with you. God wants that. He wants you to know him intimately. He wants to speak to you, love you, and guide you, and direct you way better than YouTube can. Way better than Instagram can. And he has a plan for your life. The devil has a master plan to lure you away from that. Put a little bait in the water and just, hey, come over here, little shiny thing. And you go, I'm gonna do that. No. When your world is falling apart, if your feet are not on the rock, you're gonna be like the man that built his house on sand, your house is gonna crumble. I was at the mall the other day and I walked into a shoe store. And I noticed in the shoe store, there was a guy who was a very famous athlete, about this big. And he was surrounded literally by about eight dudes this big. No lie, no exaggeration. There was 7 to 8 guys and they're in concentric circles around him. And one dude that was like 6'8", he was way out here, just kind of, hey, keep walking, don't stop looking, just leave him alone. I mean, just like verbally directing people to just not even pay attention. I was like, bro, how do we not see this crowd of, you know, these giants standing around this little dude? And little dude, I mean, I shouldn't say little dude, I don't want to disparage him, but he was just he's a bad dude, right? But I'm just giving you a comparison. He's this tall, all these dudes are like this around him, like that. And the people I was with said, hey, go talk to him. I'm like, what? I gotta go through that guy, then I gotta go through that guy, then I gotta go through that guy. Yeah, no, it's not worth it. Well, and I didn't, I wouldn't even bother. However, God is so much easier to get to. If you say, I want God, God's like, let's go. Let's go. It's like, simple as ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner and that your sin is the only thing that can prevent you from being with God, especially the sin of pride. It's all about me. I don't need you. And people, God doesn't send people to hell. They send themselves there because God loves you so much that he will not violate your freedom. He'll just say, okay, if you don't want me, then that's cool. You just go over there. Because I'm not going over there. So A is to admit that you're a sinner. B is to believe that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead for your sin. And C is to confess. Lord, be my Savior. I'll be the first to tell you, coming to church is not going to save your soul. We're glad you're here, and this is where you're going to hear about God and worship with God and the people of God. But at some point, you have, as an individual, have to say, I'm giving my life to God. Or I'm not. It's like when we were kids, we would say, step over that line. I don't know if y'all from down back in the day, down the way, if y'all know what that is, we would say, step over that line, if that line, we'd fight. right? And then if someone stepped over the line, you might say, well, step over that line. Step over all those lines. God's like, listen, if you step over that line and you come to me, I will receive you. But if you stay on the other side, I can't do anything for you because I'm not going to force myself on you. So in a minute, we're going to pray. You're going to have opportunity, every single one of you individually. This has nothing to do with the people around you, nothing to do with your family, your dad, the man, your neighborhood, your upbringing. I get it. We all had different experiences. But at the same time, God has given you the ability to say yes or no. That you would say, Lord, I want you as my Savior. I give my life to you. So I'm going to ask all you to bow your heads and close your eyes and listen very carefully. Many of you have asked Christ to be your Savior. I want to challenge you. Tap into what we're doing here at the church. Get in a small group. Come to the marriage getaway. Put yourself in a position to have a powerful, life-changing relationship with our Savior. But if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, I want to ask you to pray this prayer with me and encourage you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the breath that I have right now. I admit that I'm a sinner. I can't do life by myself. I believe that you died and rose from the dead for me. And I also know that I didn't deserve you to die on the cross for me. But I'm thankful. I confess my sin to you. I commit my life to you. Please forgive me. Fill me with the Spirit of God. I surrender, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And by standing, you are acknowledging that you are giving your life to Jesus. It's like you're resurrecting from the dead as you stand up. And it's like walking out of the tomb like Jesus did, like Lazarus did, onto a new life, leaving the old life behind. So if you prayed that prayer and you're saying, yes, Lord, me, don't forget me today. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. One, two, three. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you all around the room. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing, please. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Let me say this. This is not going to happen at your job. It's not going to happen at the ball field. One of the people, I don't need to go to church. Well, this is one of the many things that being with your family, God can offer. You can't get it anywhere else. So in a minute, I'm going to ask y'all to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you got to do is turn around and walk up and the ushers will bring you down. Everybody else, I'm going to ask you to stay seated so we don't lose these people, but we want to celebrate them. So if you're standing up, come out of your seat, come on down to the altar. Let's give them a hand. Come on. Come on, church. Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Just face me. God bless you. 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 Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. God bless you. 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 Come on, come on, come on, come on. What's up, man? Use all this for God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right there. Here we go. 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 Oh, don't trip. Come on. Come on. Let's go. What's up, little man? Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Come on, church. Amen. 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 Amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen. This is very simple. You go to school, you go to a job, you sit at Starbucks and you meet a new person. And you start talking to that person. They say, hey, let's stay connected. Get the number and you start developing a relationship. That's all this is. We would love to have you come here, but you don't have to. We'd love to help you. These people here want to help you. Where's our prayer team at? Is our prayer team? Okay, we got a prayer team? Where's our prayer team? Okay, come on down. We want to help you in your next step, but it's all about helping you establish a relationship with God where you can talk to him, he can talk to you and guide you and direct you and all the decisions you got to make about everything in your life. Everything in your life. What you eat, who you hang out with, what you do in your private time, what you watch on, everything, everything. He wants to guide you, and that's why his Bible's so critical. Amen? So we got some people who are going to talk to you. Then you can tell them what to do next. But we want to help you in that relationship. Amen? So I'm going to pray for you right now. Then Travis is going to tell you what to do next. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, I just pray we'd all seek your face today. Just spend a minute alone, quiet, sometime today and say, God, what do you want me to do? And that we wouldn't forget what happened just now and we wouldn't take you for granted, that we would allow you to guide and direct our life. In Jesus' name, amen.